Jeff.
Joe.
You were looking at some merchandise here before we got started.
Because Jason, like, he's taking pictures of a knife right now. He's not even paying attention to us.
No, not at all. Nope. Jason. There's his eyeballs.
It's a nice knife. I like it. He said it was $700.
$700 knife.
I was like, listen, I don't have Joe Caruso kind of money.
No. No, you certainly don't.
To spend on a knife.
Yeah. No, I have at least two knives, and they were both gifts. So
our knives at the house are like whatever the Amazon special was. I'm pretty sure when they doll out, we throw them away and buy new knives. And then somebody bought me it was a gift from this organization, like a Cutco knife.
I think I just got the same one.
I mean, that's amazing.
It's real. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
This is a real knife.
I pulled it out. You ever you ever cut like a lot of bacon because you're going to like make bacon bits in a skillet?
Cook.
I don't either, but I'll sometimes sous chef for my wife. Like, okay. Oh, you just need me to sizzle bacon while you do the real cooking. Well, if you don't know, cutting through a package of bacon with a normal knife is a pain because bacon's fatty. And so like every slice, you're like trying to get the knife like down through. You're almost sawing every piece. And like it's because we tend to have probably medium level, if not cheap knives. Well, I pulled this Cutco one out the other day because I'm like, hey, why not? We got it. And I'm like,
oh, it's glorious.
You mean this isn't supposed to be that hard? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's amazing. Because we definitely have cheap knives.
Yeah.
And like our knives, the paint flakes off of them. They're that cheap kind
of thing. Hopefully not into your food.
But the Cutco stuff, I was like, because I know some people that have like sets of Cutco knives, but like they're like, you could buy a house for what a Cutco's cost. But I'm like, this one was a gift. I'm like, well.
Yeah.
This is nice. I carved turkey with it on Thanksgiving.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
See, the only turkey that we had on Thanksgiving was somebody prepared a turkey breast. And so it basically was fall apart and no one ever, it's like stayed in the crock pot.
Cheap.
Oh, I don't, it's like having a cheap knife.
Yeah, cook a real turkey, Joe.
Well, we just established this. I don't cook. Though I have deep fried a turkey.
I didn't cook it. I've done that a couple times. But I did cut it.
It's interesting how we get that honor. Because I would say stereotypically the dad isn't the turkey cooker unless they're like frying it. Just again, stereotypes. I know there's exceptions. But it is interesting that like dad or grandpa almost always cut it. It's like, hey, thanks for doing all the work. Allow me to take center stage.
Yeah, that's right.
So
I think Heidi wanted me to cut it, so I don't.
Mandy usually does for me, too.
I don't have a lot of pride with those things. Apparently, you struggle with it.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's actually what this episode's completely about.
Oh, are we doing an episode
now?
Oh,
we are, yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I apologize for my residual voice. You'll hear me clearing my throat at least a couple of times. I was sick a week ago, and I still, my throat feels fine. I think I'm better, but I don't sound good. That's so.
Mine is a little deeper than normal.
Mine's a little deeper than typical.
It's the time of year.
It is that time of year. Man, it's really going around. Speaking of really going around. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Mixed Messages. This episode is really going around. I'm your host, Joe Caruso, and I'm excited to dive into our topic for today. In a world where everyone, from news outlets to comedians, friends to advertisements, even our knife-wielding producer, Jason, they seem to have a strong opinion on everything that we should think or live or make decisions, and it's easy to feel overwhelmed by the noise. I'm calling out Jason because he's shaking his head over there at me while I'm saying this, but it's fine. When everyone's offering different advice, how do we cut through the confusion? How
do we sift? With a Cutco knife.
Well played. And that's our episode. This episode has been brought to you by Cutco. How do we sift through that information overload and determine what truly governs our lives? Well, as we navigate these challenging questions, we want to be a resource that helps you process and pray through some of the day's most pressing issues. Today, Jeff, we're getting into a question that's actually kind of a response from one of our more recent-ish episodes. Our writer in, you know, every once in a while I slip into being a little bit older and I want to say caller as if we're like on the radio, like our caller submits. But they said, I really enjoyed your episode talking about wounds from your mother. I've had a really bad relationship with my mother. I've not seen her in almost 6 years. Mm. Long story short, she's a really bad alcoholic. I have a lot of childhood trauma from her. I call her, I cut her out of my life when my grandma passed away. I learned she was stealing money from my grandma on her deathbed and much more. I couldn't take it anymore, and I cut her off. And during that time, she got her fourth DUI, went to jail. The rest of my family has also cut her off. This past year, she's harassed my in-laws, threatened to call CPS on me so she could see my children. I got married. I had two children 2 years after. I cut her off. Every once in a while, I check my blocked voicemails to see if she's left me some drunken voicemails. Back in May, she did, and she used the commandment, "You shall honor your father and mother," against me. I wasn't a Christ follower when I originally cut her off. My mom always used God to make excuses. She's been in AA, in and out of her sober living home since I was at least 7 years old. Mm. I'm 27 now. I'm hoping you could make an episode about the fourth commandment and how to navigate that with abusive parents. Lately, I think I've been convicted to reach out and forgive her, but still not have a relationship with her. I know she has, she's not changed and will want to blame everyone else for her actions and not take fault. I don't want to open up because these wounds and have her think I've been inviting her back into my life. I can't allow her around my children because I never want them to experience what I have had as a child. I would love to have my mother in my life, but I know that I cannot let her back in. I've forgiven her in my heart, and I pray that one day she'll become sober, but I also did that throughout my childhood, and she never did. I know it's not God's fault. She will never be sober, and it's up to her to take action, but I've accepted God's fate with her and forgiven her through prayer. This person apologizes. I'm sorry if this feels personal and lengthy. There's a lot more that I could unfold about my relationship with my mother. But how do I navigate this in particular, boiling into how do I honor my mother, or as the passage says, honor my father and mother, when this is the type of relationship that you have?
Yeah, man, first of all, I'm sorry you have to go through all this. It's wildly painful and confusing and frustrating and not God's ideal. So I'm just sorry that that's the relationship you have with her. I think you're asking really good questions, and I think there's kind of a continuum that I would talk about this on, and I'm going to have to, like, leave it up to you guys as individual listeners, or if you're watching on YouTube, of how you're going to apply some of what I'm going to say, and what I would counsel you to do is I'm going to lay down some, like, principles, some big picture stuff, and I would counsel you to get around some pastors, a counselor, some godly, maybe like you know, your small group leader or whoever, a godly person, to talk about how this stuff rolls out like in individual ways, because this is a type of conversation that there's not like a principle or two. You almost have to navigate it like on deeply, deeply personal levels. So let me show you, let me tell you a couple principles and then we'll go from there. Number one is this. The commandment to honor your father and mother is not the commandment to enable your father and mother. Mm. And so there's a sense of reciprocation there that you have imperfect but loving parents who are seeking to love and serve the people in their life, but do that imperfectly. That's honoring. Like, I listen to them, I love them. When I'm a child, I yield to them. And every kid can go and look at the mistakes their parents made. My kids, you know, could have a list of mistakes.
They tell me about it all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Because every human being is raised by another human being, and every human being is sinful.
Yep.
And what we do the most naturally is we sin against one another. So, so there is no such thing as a perfect childhood or perfect parents, etc. That's where the concept of honoring comes in. Despite your humanity, despite your imperfections, I'm going to celebrate you, love you, listen to you, and yield to your authority in my life. There are times when children are difficult. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to learn. They don't want to listen. They don't want to respect. And the commandment would say, hey, you know, get over your feelings. This is what you are to do. You are to honor your father and mother. There are times when parents are difficult. They personality clashes, in particular weaknesses, and where you don't feel like or you don't get along with, and God would look and say, listen, the commandment is honor your father and mother. Then there are times when parents are destructive and we're moving outside the boundary, so to say, of the commandment. And when it's weaponized, like the listener was saying, like her mom weaponized the commandment, what she's really asking you to do is enable her. Let my behavior be whatever I want it to be. I want from this relationship what I want from this relationship, and I bring little or no responsibility to the relationship myself. And we are never commanded to facilitate sin. We're never commanded to even facilitate dysfunction. In fact, the loving thing would be to bring truth to bear in that situation. So when you get into that category, this is where there's some principles I'll lay out for you, but they really have to be applied individually with a ton of wisdom, mm-hmm. right? So number one principle is, I would say this, we're not called to enable, so you must set boundaries with people who are seeking to abuse your relationship. Mm-hmm. Some of those boundaries, sometimes they're simple, you know, dad has a temper, he can't control it, dad, you're not allowed to, you know, you lose your temper at my house, I'm going to ask you to leave my house.
Yep.
It's a boundary. Parents are bad with money, they want things from their kids, mom, I'm not loaning you money, like ever, it's a boundary. Sometimes parents are too, they interfere in the lives of their adult children. So you're looking to say, mom, dad, I'm 27. You're not actually allowed to barge into my house, or I don't have to obey you the way that I did when I was a child. So there's nothing wrong or ungodly or sinful with setting boundaries.
Right.
And I would look at this listener with her mom, and I'd be like, right, your mom is a personality type that needs stronger boundaries. And if she's going to abuse your cell phone number, then you have to block the cell phone. If the children are going to be unsafe around her, then you have to protect your children from her. That you said a couple times in what you wrote, you're like, I forgive her and I love her. Forgiveness is a decision of the heart, and it's a habit. That does not necessarily release her from boundaries.
Right.
So if you want to look again and say, I want to explore if the high boundaries I set up are still needed, so I like to re-engage and see what's there, what's not there, that's your decision. And it's your decision if you want to, if you looked and said, I feel like I could lower those boundaries, that's your decision. If you looked back and said, I need to keep those boundaries up where they are, that's also your decision. I don't think any of that has anything to do with honoring your father and mother. Mm-hmm. I think your willingness to forgive her, your willingness to explore that is in line with the principle of honoring your mother. So, to me, those things are probably tests and explorations and things like that that you will probably run the rest of your life with her. Mm-hmm. Like, mom, are you doing better? Mom, what's going on? You get into things like mom needs food, mom needs shelter. Now we're just talking about helping someone, but that does not mean it's in your home or she's draining your bank account, right? So you have to navigate it. And I've had this conversation many times over the years where we'll talk about radical love and radical forgiveness. And people will come and say, my parents, am I not radically loving them, radically forgiving them? I'm like, I can radically love you, radically forgive you, and put boundaries up. That does not mean I trust you. Mm-hmm. So I think that's fine. I think it's in the spirit of the commandment. And I think you going and exploring that, just go with eyes wide open. I don't think that's necessarily inviting her over to your house kind of a thing, but you want to meet her at McDonald's for coffee or whatever, that's something you can do. The other piece that's unique even to this conversation that's really, really important, and this is a principle that applies, I think, to a lot of people, is the listener said, I'm married. And there is something really important biblically that happens when we get married. We get married, we leave our father and mother, and we cling to our husband or wife. And what that means is that the primary family that I belong to is no longer the family I was born into. The primary family I belong to is the family that I created with my spouse, and now we have children. What that means is then that the primary influence in my life is no longer my parents, it's my spouse. Mm-hmm. And parents who cannot honor that are parents you should draw boundaries around. Like if your dad is undermining what your husband says, or your mom can't, she comes in and tries to take control of your home, you need to draw boundaries around that. If your parents are not being cooperative grandparents, like if you say, I don't want my kids on the iPad, or I don't want them to, you know, have the fruit snacks, it is not right if your parents ignore that with your children. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about like grandma buys ice cream, you know, kind of thing. I'm talking about when a mom or a dad has looked at a grandparent and said specifically, I do not want that to happen. We are not raising our kids that way. That needs to be honored because mom and dad now are outsiders to your new immediate family. Does that make sense what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So in this situation with this lady's mom, your mom interfering with that or your mom pushing against that, you do not have a obligation to honor that or respond to that in any way. Your obligation is to your husband and your children. Mm-hmm. So when you go and see if you can explore something with your mom, that's fine, as long as it does not negatively affect your husband and your children. And if mom is negatively affecting or she's interfering, that boundary needs to be reestablished. And I would say that to all marriages. Like, I know many men who are more afraid of their mom than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And I would say to you men, like, you need to grow up and you honor your wife. Mm-hmm. And you honor her role in your life. Your mama doesn't get to dictate that anymore. I know many women who will take the counsel of their dad before their husband. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, no, no. You know, now in a healthy family, all that works together well. Mm-hmm. You know, I have relationships I really enjoy with my daughter-in-laws. Sometimes they ask me my opinion about something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when dad is like, well, your husband's dumb, you shouldn't be doing that. Or mm-hmm. mom is like, that's ridiculous, that's not how you run a house. You have to draw the boundary and say, no, our family's healthy and you're not allowed to come into these places. So boundaries are good. That is not what it means to, that's not dishonoring to your father or mother. Mm-hmm. Your father and mother have to be honorable in some ways mm-hmm. in order for that commandment to play out the way that it should.
Jeff, I think that's incredibly helpful. I'm thinking of, matter of fact, as I was reading this question out loud, I wondered if it was one of three different individuals I've talked to in the last month with a very similar situation.
Yeah.
This is all too common. And it hits many of our listeners, I'm sure, really close to home, wondering, did I hit submit on a question I didn't realize I threw out there? talk to us a little bit about what it means to not shame your family, because the opposite of honoring is shame. Mm-hmm. And so I think in today's culture, maybe not of our listeners don't, I think if we're really trying to run after the Lord, we don't tend to do this. But in our culture, we don't mind throwing people under the bus. We don't mind saying that person's an idiot, and et cetera. And I do think sometimes we over publicize how much we've been wounded by or distrust our parents.
Yeah.
And so what does it look like to not shame them? And in light of our listener, if we wanted to, she probably has a lot of room to run on when it comes to like shaming her mother. And so what does that look like?
Yeah, I think there's so much that we don't have to say that we say in our culture right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to comment on everything. I don't have to throw my story out on Instagram. I don't have to do any of those things. And so not shaming her mother is probably keeping the story of her mother in a closed circle. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we're talking about her in a theoretical way. I'm not saying she did something wrong with sending this question in, but
even knows who it is.
Yeah. So, but when I'm like wrestling with it and I don't know what, it's probably three or four friends or spiritual leaders who are like, hey, I just need your help.
Yes,
right.
Right.
So talking about someone because you're trying to figure them out, or frankly, you're trying to survive them, is not gossip. Mm-hmm. Gossip is willful, gossip is self-serving, and gossip is often punitive. That's not this, it's like, I don't know what to do, or it's our daughter's birthday, should I invite mom over, last time she was drunk, you know, those kind of things. And the same thing, I think the stories you tell publicly, I think the stories that you communicate to other people, I think the unspoken eye rolls and things like that when it comes to how you feel about your parents, I think you need to be very, very careful with. I also think the way you talk about your in-laws, mm-hmm. is a part of this. My mother-in-law is an idiot, or my father-in-law is why are you saying that to me? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're saying that to me because you're like, I'm exasperated, I don't know what to do, okay. But if that's just a part of your public identity, I'm like, no, I don't see it, and I don't see the purpose behind it. So we live in a culture right now where like we literally live in a culture that's driven by gossip, and we just call it social media. Mm-hmm. And something negative happens or frustrating happens, and we're almost glad that we have something to post. Mm-hmm. Situations like this, they should not be kept secret. There's a massive difference between being secretive and being private. Mm-hmm. And when you have a difficult family situation, I would encourage you to keep it private, not a secret. If especially if somebody's hurtful or can't be trusted, but I'm like, just make sure that the right people know those things, not that everybody knows those things, you know. And because what happens is, if you have a tension, if you and I are in a fight and we have a tension, you know, we generally love each other and like each other, but if we have a tension and you take that out and you're just blowing me up. Mm-hmm. There is zero way to repair it, because now the initial wound is not the problem anymore.
Right.
It just doesn't take us anywhere. If we can keep that private, not secret, right? Not saying bury anything, private. You talk to a couple of your buddies, I talk to a couple of mine, and we figure out a solution. The chances for us restoring the relationship are significantly higher.
Right.
And we're just not like that as a culture right now. We kind of are glad that we have something to share.
Yeah, our culture has shifted. So if you looked 15, 20 years ago, there are these giant swaths of descriptions of types of culture, and ours would have been a like a guilt and innocence type of culture. But things like in the East, like in Chinese culture, Japanese culture, et cetera, they've been traditionally as an honor-shame culture. Well, what's fascinating is these anthropologists and sociologists and the rest, they're saying that the Western culture is shifting towards honor shame,
yeah.
But none of us are used to it. And so whereas like it might be known, if you know anything about Japanese culture, it would be like the worst thing in the world to dishonor your parents or to dishonor your family. And that would just be known. Here we're shifting to an honor shame culture, but we don't know any of those ground rules. There's like, yeah, my parents are the worst. Hit send, yeah. Post. Like, we have no problem shaming people, partly because we don't know the full ramifications of the pain that we're causing or stirring up when we do all of that shaming.
Yeah, and it is what cancel culture is. Mm-hmm. It's honor shame. I just think it's ungodly. Like if you said my parents are the worst, first of all, you've dishonored your parents. Now, here's what I would tend to say. If I saw that post, I would look and say, this is what I would think. I think, well, you're the worst.
Mm-hmm.
You've discredited yourself. You're not wrestling with it. You're not trying to restore a relationship. You're just, to me, it's shallow and immature. So I think when you start mocking, when you start teasing, when you start accusing in those ways, it is ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping a secret, especially a harmful one, if a parent is harming a child, is also ungodly. Handling things with a small network, and I'm not talking about abusive and things like that. I'm talking about like we don't get along or my mom's an alcoholic. Like, handling that in a small network where you've got the wisdom that you need and you move from there. I talk about this idea a lot with politics. I just had a meeting with a friend the other day, and he was very frustrated about something politically. And he was so wired up politically. And I said, get off the podcast. Quit reading the news. And he goes, well, I need to know what's going on. I said, you formed your opinion a long time ago, and you already know what's going on. So all this is doing is fueling your angst. It's not informing you or changing, it's fueling your angst. Well, the same thing happens. When mom or dad is the conversation that I'm only having with my spouse, or the siblings get together and you're not accomplishing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're working each other up and making each other more angry. Now, to ignore it and hide it and enable, you're not accomplishing anything. Mm-hmm. Now you're just keeping a secret. But in the middle of that is, we've communicated, we've talked, we understand. Until something changes, there's really no reason to have this conversation again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is honoring to your father and mother, and I actually think it's healthy for you.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of nuances that we could continue to go down with this conversation. And my guess is a lot of those listeners who are like, hey, this kind of sounds a little bit like my story. What about? Those would be great questions to submit back in, because like Jeff said, there are some principles we can take in with these things, but now we have to get into the individual nature of how this actually plays out in your specific dynamic. And so if there are questions that we can interact with for you on your behalf, you can submit those at bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send them our way. We would love to get in and dive into those things. And we'd also love to hear how these conversations are helping you. So when you see us, don't be a stranger. Reach out. Let us know. Most of the time, we don't bite. Jeff does from time to time. No, we would love to. We're much – I had just somebody yesterday. They're like, oh, you're so personable. I'm like, yeah, I'm just a guy. Like, I'm not anything else. And another person said, like, you're a lot taller than I thought you were, because they just only see us on camera. But yeah, we're just normal people. We would love to hear how this is encouraging you. And if you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review, and help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend, whether it's in person or if you're checking us out online. But thanks for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all of the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.